I'm Ed Ronco with Raven News. The Sitka Assembly could take the first step in raising electric rates during its regular meeting tonight. The plan is a flat 10% increase across the board. City officials say the increase is needed to help pay for big projects, including the Blue Lake hydropower expansion. That project, which is underway now, is the biggest in city history and is estimated to cost about $140 million. Tonight's discussion would be the Assembly's first look at the new electric rates. It will take another meeting before it becomes official. Up for final action tonight is the sale of some city property to a local developer. Sound Development LLC wants to buy 4 lots in the Benchlands neighborhood. The Sitka-owned company is hoping to develop those lots. The city, meanwhile, is offering all 4 lots for a total of about $340,000. The Assembly also plans to discuss the list it submits every year to the state legislature asking for money for projects, and members are also expected to decide tonight which nonprofit organizations will receive city funding. The meeting begins at 6 p.m. inside Harrigan Centennial Hall. KCAW will carry live coverage as we usually do. If President Obama's address to the nation goes beyond 6 o'clock, Assembly coverage will immediately follow the president's remarks. About 250 business, government, and nonprofit leaders from around Southeast will gather in Sitka next week. It is the annual meeting of the Southeast Conference, one of the region's larger organizations. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld tells us what's on the agenda.
This year's meeting will look toward the sea. That's according to Shelley Wright, executive director of the Southeast Conference, which is headquartered in Juneau.
We're really focusing on the maritime industry in Southeast Alaska, the seafood industry, some of the transportation industry pieces in Southeast Alaska, workforce development, trying to get back to the small business and how we can grow as a region by growing our businesses.
The organization has been in the middle of a number of efforts to reinvigorate the region's logging and wood processing industry. They include the many-membered Tongass Futures Roundtable and Governor Sean Parnell's Alaska Timber Task Force. Wright says the conference will announce plans at the meeting for its own effort.
To try to manage the Tongass in a way that's going to create a universal strategy for habitat as well as resource development.
And isn't that something that the Forest Service is already doing?
We would like to show them a better way.
The Southeast Conference meeting will include the release of an annual economic roundup for the region. A variety of speakers and panelists will also talk about mining, transportation, and vocational training.
It really is a one-stop shopping event where, you know, you have access to leadership throughout the region and state.
Robert Venables of Haines is the organization's energy coordinator.
We have agency participation, and the communities all have an opportunity to do lessons learned and share experiences of what they've been accomplishing, what they hope to accomplish, and how we're doing.
Yakutat, for example, is trying to be the first Alaska community to use wave power to generate electricity. The conference will get an update from Columbia Power Technologies, a Lower 48 company working on the project. Venables says a variety of speakers will provide updates on hydropower, biomass, and other energy projects throughout the region.
We have so much surrounding us with wave water and wood, wind, that those are the technologies that we really need to tap into.
Some conference attendees will tour the Blue Lake Dam expansion project, Sitka's brewery, and the shipbuilding company, Allen Marine. Wright says a panel will showcase other local efforts.
We've got some entrepreneurs in Sitka that are going to be presenting their business, how they started and how they've succeeded in Sitka.
The Southeast Conference will also hold its annual board election. 6 of 13 seats are up for grabs. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting from Juneau.
And Ed will be here in Sitka covering that meeting, so stay tuned for reports on topics of interest. Also, we've got a link to the Southeast Conference's agenda on our website. It is posted as part of this report online at kcaw.org. A border dispute 77 miles northwest of Sitka is now in the hands of a Superior Court judge. For the past several months, Juneau and Petersburg have been sparring over the northern boundary of the recently formed Petersburg Borough. It's a jagged line that starts in northwestern Holcomb Bay and runs from peak to peak north of Endicott Arm all the way east to the Canadian border. Juneau says the local boundary commission put the line too far north over land that rightfully belongs in the Juneau borough. In fact, Juneau had hoped to annex the mainland all the way down to Cape Fanshawe, but the boundary commission ruled in favor of Petersburg. That dispute landed in court, and so did KTOO's Matt Miller, who attended last week's hearing.
For much of the nearly hour and 15-minute hearing, attorneys provided their own interpretation of what was done with both petitions and why. City and Borough of Juneau attorney Amy Mead referred to a constitutional requirement for the LBC to fully and fairly consider both competing claims for the overlapping area between Holcomb Bay and Cape Fanshawe before a boundary was set. But she says the LBC only considered whether the Petersburg petition met incorporation standards.
In a situation such as the LBC had before in this case, when there were competing claims for the same area and two pending petitions filed for the same area, the LBC was obligated to fully consider all of the competing claims. Nothing justifies the first-in-time approach that the LBC took in this matter. When there are competing pending claims, they're required to consider all of the claims in making their boundary decisions.
And Mead says that should have been done either as a consolidated petition or as petitions considered separately but fully. Mead says there was no hearing physically in the CBJ on the Juneau annexation petition, and the CBJ did not have the opportunity to fully present their claims. They were only able to present their claims on the Petersburg petition, and CBJ's own annexation petition was eventually set aside by the LBC, pending outcome of the December borough vote by Petersburg citizens. State Attorney Erling Johansson, representing the LBC, says Juneau's comments were not ignored. The CBJ annexation petition was accepted nearly 2 months before a multi-day public hearing in Petersburg that included witnesses from Juneau.
The commissioners had the entire volumes of Juneau's petition. All the backup material and everything.
Jim Brennan, attorney for Petersburg, says there was substantial evidence that demonstrated Petersburg's dominance in the disputed area with tourism and commercial fishing. But he also points to the Tracy Arm area that was carved out from the proposed Petersburg borough as the LBC recognizing Juneau's ties to that area.
In this case, Petersburg's efforts to form a borough had been pending for 5 years. Ms. Mead tried to equate the two. What Juneau did was just sit on their hands for all that time. They had the boundary commission's local or model boundary as encouragement to extend their boundaries. They'd had their own commission analyze possible annexation. They just sat on it. And so finally, at the 11th hour, when Petersburg's petition was getting ready to be set to be heard, that's when they filed their annexation petition.
Brennan also argued that requiring an amended boundary would invalidate the vote by Petersburg residents or force dissolution of the new borough, creating chaos and a legal mess. But CBJ's Amy Mead said during rebuttal that would not happen in this instance, and she said it was not their intent to invalidate the new borough anyway. Mead was accompanied at the appellant's table during arguments by Juneau Mayor Merrill Sanford, while Petersburg Mayor Mark Jensen joined Johansson and Brennan at the appellee's table. Juneau Superior Court Judge Luis Menendez patiently listened to all the arguments and asked only a few questions before making this comment.
I have the documents. We're starting to review them to a greater extent. We'll take it under advisement. Thank you for your time. It's been very interesting, and I've enjoyed this very much. Thank you, everybody, and thank you for your patience.
He's expected to issue an opinion anytime within the next 6 months. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.